It's time for your SportsEdge.com sideline report with Todd Griffin. Talking sports and more here on 1580 103.3 WPKY and worldwide at WPKYonline.com. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Good morning, everyone. The Sideline Report is on the air from 1035 West Main Street in Princeton. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and your SportsEdge.com. Coming up a little bit later on this morning, we're going to talk college basketball with the guys that play college basketball. Former Caldwell County Tigers Darian Boyd and Jabrion Spikes will be with us in the studio. Boyd is headed to the College of Charleston. Spikes is at Georgetown College, and we'll talk hoops with them just a little bit later on this morning. But right now, the Caldwell County track teams are in action at the Class A state track meet in Lexington, and we're going to talk with Scott Brown of YourSportsEdge.com about the state track meet when we come back. Stay with us as we continue here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Caldwell Medical Center would like to invite you to attend a weight loss seminar the first Tuesday of every month. They will meet in the education room at Caldwell Medical Center at 6 p.m. Please join Dr. Mobley, Caldwell's very own general surgeon that specializes in medical and surgical weight loss. If you can't come in person, join them on Facebook Live. Once again, it's the first Tuesday of every month at 6 p.m. at the Caldwell Medical Center. Hope to see you there.
You only turn 130 once, and Fredonia Valley Bank is pulling out all the stops. This remarkable journey is a testament to the community and the cherished customers, so they are shouting out a huge thank you. And what better way to show gratitude than with monthly giveaways? Stay in the loop for your chance to grab some amazing prizes. Stay tuned with us. Follow Fredonia Valley Bank on Facebook and Instagram, or pop into either location for a visit. Here's to winning and celebrating together.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
At Trilogy Performance Sports, they believe in only the highest standards of physical fitness training. Their staff members are actively enriching the lives of their members and creating a community of like-minded people. And getting you in shape is their number one goal. They have everything you need: knowledge, experience, and equipment. They find out what's important to you and design a customized plan that fits your needs. Learn more at TrilogyPerformanceSports.com.
At Tricews, they're ordering it your way. How would you like to have a vehicle built just for you? Little things are important, like rich colors, big screens and displays, almost like watching TV. Exteriors with beautiful style and powerful engines that respond to the lightest touch on the accelerator. It's time to get what you want. Order your new ride and feel the thrill when you drive off the lot. Tricews in Princeton is the one-stop shop for everything your vehicle needs. For more information, visit Tricews.com. That's Tricews.com.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Joining us now is Scott Brown of YourSportsEdge.com, who is covering the Class A state track meet in Lexington for us. And Scott, thanks for coming on the show. And you start looking at the Class A meet, and for YourSportsEdge.com, we've got a lot of competitors that are going to be in action.
Yes, first off, thank you for having me, Todd, and you're exactly right. I put together our hot sheet of events that we're going to cover, and there is not a single event blank. There is at least one person from our schools or schools like Crittenden and Dawson Springs and Livingston that are close enough to be covered competing in every single event.
Yeah, and when you look at Caldwell County, I think if I added correctly, 22 entrants at state.
Yeah, the move to Class A has been good for both Caldwell and Fort Campbell. I went back and looked at some stuff last week. I think if Caldwell were still in 2A competing against Paducah-Tillman and Callaway County, their entrant list would be cut by at least half. And that's just says, I mean, Callaway County's girls right now, they're going up there thinking they got a shot at winning a state championship. Paducah Tillman's boys are going up there thinking that they've got a shot to win a trophy. And, you know, those are two of the more strong programs in track and field. And it's not to take anything away, but they're also bigger schools than Caldwell County is. So I think the move for them, and I think the move for Hopkinsville coming down to Class 2A was a good move. And, of course, you know, Fort Campbell moved down to Class A a few years ago. So it's, it's good that we have classes for track. It's just unfortunate we don't have classes for other sports. And, again, I still don't understand why some are and some aren't, but we could fill a whole show another time about that.
Well, I was going to bring that up that, you know, you mentioned the classes, and that's a big thing for track. And Caldwell County, for the first time this year ever, in Class A instead of Class 2A. And the biggest change I noticed at the regional meet was there's more schools, I think, in Class A, but I don't believe there's as many competitors overall in the Class A meet as the Class 2A regional meet.
There's not. And the thing about Class A is there's a little more depth, possibly, but it's not really just overwhelming. And again, you've got a lot, you've got some schools that compete, like let's say Christian Fellowship. They had a girl qualify for state in one of the throwing events, and they probably didn't have five kids go there. Community Christian, they'll send a few kids. Livingston Central sends a few kids. And so you've got a lot of schools there, but you don't have the full teams that it takes. And, hey, I give credit to Caldwell County's track program because they've got numbers. And in order to bring home team trophies, you got to have numbers. Or you got to be like Fulton County had 25 years ago. They had a girl by the name of Sharika Smith who won the 100, the 200. She anchored the 400-meter and anchored the 800-meter relays, and they won all four events. That's 40 points, and that was good enough to get a second-place trophy.
Right, that's a big thing at region. I noticed the numbers for Caldwell, and it wasn't that long ago that I went to take the Caldwell County track pictures before the season started, and I think there were 12 to 14 kids on the entire team. This year they had over 50.
Yeah, and that's what you have to have. And again, kudos to the coaches and everyone for getting those kids out. And it's not just as simple as getting a kid to come out and run. Track meets require strategy. You can only compete in four events. And so you can have a kid compete in four individual events, or you can have a kid compete in two individual events and two relays. But you have to structure it, because you don't want a kid who's going to compete in the 110-meter hurdles and run as hard as he can and then turn right around the next event and run the 100-meter dash. There's got to be some recovery time. So you've got to plan a track meet out, and so that your middle-distance runners, when they run an event, they've got some recovery time so that they're good to go, a few events later. So there is some strategy there. And you got to also kind of pay attention at region to, if you've got a kid who is kind of good at the pole vault, but there's only four people in that event, throw him in the pole vault because that's automatic points. And so the points help out. And so we see that at the state level. For Class A, the Northern Kentucky schools seem to do good because they're good in two things. They're good in middle and long distance, and they're also they have someone competing in every field event. They have throwers and jumpers, and it doesn't seem like a lot, but 3 points here and 3 points there and 3 points here adds up. I've seen state titles that have come down to fractions of a point to decide who wins and who finishes second and who gets a trophy.
Yeah, when you look at regional and state track meets, it's a little unique, I guess, because we all know if you place first or second at the regional, you're going to go to state. But then there's a bit of a waiting game because there's also some third place finishes that are going to qualify for a state that gets in at large later.
Right. It's the next 10 fastest. There's eight regions across the state in each class. And so first and second automatically qualify. Then the 10 next either fastest times or the longest distances, whether you're a jumper, a thrower, or a runner, get in as well. And so we've got some events, Todd, where four teams from Caldwell County's region made it to state, because the first and second advanced, but then the third and fourth place teams had a time that was among the fastest in the state, and so they qualified. One of those is the boys 100-meter dash. You've got Luke Maddox and Shane Farrow, both from Caldwell County. You've got Caden Herrera and Maurice Moore from Fort Campbell, and Griffin McCoy from UHA. That's five kids who ran in the Class 1A Region 1 meet, and all five of those kids are going to state.
We're talking this morning with Scott Brown of YourSportsEdge.com. He's going to be in Lexington covering the Class A state track meet for us at Your Sports Edge. We need to get to a break here on the Sideline Report, but we'll come back and have more right after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Charter Senior Living Community in Hopkinsville offers the best in personalized care and memory care services. Their community provides a unique and comfortable living environment tailored to each individual's needs.
Your weather, Edge Weather Center forecast, another beautiful sunny day in western Kentucky. We'll take it after the last weekend of storms. Sunny and 78 today. Tonight, mostly clear, low back down to 54. Mostly sunny and 81 for Friday. Showers and storms are possibilities as we head into the weekend. No severe weather expected. But again, sunshine and 78, the high for today.
Powering your lives and lighting up your nights, Princeton Electric Plant Board's community spirit shines bright. Entrusted with the glow of our fields, they keep our Tigers' pathways illuminated to victory. A shout out goes to our Tigers as they roar into a new season. Good luck, Tigers. Here's to a safe and victorious year from your one and only Princeton Electric Plant Board. They're not just a service, they're community.
Is there anything we can do for you? Johnson's Furniture and Appliances in Marion, Kentucky wants to help. At Johnson's, we get excited when you walk in the door or call for assistance. We look forward to solving your problems and lending a hand. We carry most major appliances, including GE washers, GE dryers, and GE refrigerators. We also carry parts and offer service. Johnson's in Marion, Kentucky wants to be your appliance store and service center. Let Johnson's Furniture and Appliances in Marion lend a hand. Stop in or shop online.
Financial planning should be specific to you and your life circumstances. That is why we created InvestFB Wealth Management, a division of Farmers Bank. Hi, I'm Jeff McDaniels, InvestFB's lead financial advisor. Whether you're saving for retirement, starting a business, or planning your family's future, our individual and comprehensive approach can help you achieve your financial goals. Visit us today at our Princeton or Eddyville offices to start a conversation about your individual financial needs.
Overspending on everyday items.
Hello. Is that a trick question?
The Big Deal Store is your go-to for incredible savings.
Sounds like a lovely spot.
At the Big Deal Store, we believe in supporting local and helping you save
that
money.
That would be so nice.
Everything you need at unbeatable prices. All in one place.
Oh, yeah.
Willow Pond of Eddyville.
Joshua Tree Boutique.
The Java Table.
Our Daily Bread in Eddyville.
Bella Marie Boutique.
Shop smart, save big, and support your local businesses at the Big Deal Store.
I'm ready.
Visit us today.
I'm happy to.
At WPKYonline.com.
This is the Sideline Report here on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Thanks a lot for tuning in this morning. Talking with Scott Brown of YourSportsEdge.com. Caldwell County track athletes in Lexington today for the Class A state track meet. And Scott, give us a little details about what's going on at the UK Track and Field Complex. And I know they've had the state meet there for several years now.
They have. It moved to Louisville for a little bit. They were renovating the track. I remember when I covered state track and field years ago, back in the early to mid-90s, and then came back and did it again in the early 2000s. The track was north-south, whereas now it's east-west, if that makes sense. And so they totally reconfigured it. They ran it where the stands were back-to-back with the third base stands at Old Cliff Hagen Park, which is where Kentucky played baseball until they moved into their new venue. Now, Cliff Hagen Park is the new indoor either tennis or swimming. It's one of the it, They built a brand new facility there. It's an indoor track. They built an indoor track for Kentucky. So I've not seen that. They were working on that during the state track meet last year. And so I'm kind of curious to maybe take some time to wander through that building and see that facility. But UK is really upgrading their facilities. And, of course, with baseball being a number two national seed, they're home next week for the NCAA tournament, which means state baseball has had to move over to where the Legends play for the first weekend. And then once Kentucky moves on from the tournament, then the semifinals and the championship game will be back on campus. Softball is on campus at UK. Swimming is on campus at UK. Half of tennis is on campus at UK. So, you know, with the KHSAA being in Lexington, cross country's run at the horse park, you know, they're taking full advantage of having facilities in Lexington where they can host state meets.
We talked earlier about Caldwell County having 22 entrants for the state track meet, and I haven't gone back to look at it, but I think that's probably a record for the Caldwell County track program. But I also think there are several athletes, both boys and girls, who will be in the running for medals. And you start on the boys' side maybe with a Cooper Mobley, who won regional championships in both the shot put and the discus.
Well, when you go through and make the, I call it a hot sheet, which is, you know, it just lists every kid that's running. You know, a lot of these events have, like, heats and flights. They can't, like, run everybody in the 100-meter dash at the same time. They have three heats for that. Well, it goes from slow to fast, or in the throws, it goes from low to high. So if you've got a number other than one next to your name, that means that I feel like you're in the running for a medal. And Cooper Mobley's in the second flight for shot put. You know, Avery Wells is in the second flight for the girls' long jump. Just kind of scanning over my list here and looking. You know, Shane Farrow is in the fast heat for the boys' 100 meter dash, and in the 200 meter dash. Him and Luke Maddox are in the second heat out of three. So, yeah, you know, and then, you know, the boys' discus, you got both Daniel Laurent and Cooper in the second flight for the throws. So, yeah, if you're in that second flight out of three, or you're in that second flight out of two, there's a good shot that, yeah, you can reach the medal stand. And based on some of the times and some of the distances that Caldwell's put up this year, you're probably going to see a few kids with their picture taken now and appearing on yoursportsedge.com with that state medal around their neck.
And there is one defending state champion that's going to be there in the adapted 100 meters.
That is correct. Kendall Mahaffey will be making her return to the track. She just missed the best time last year. And with Caldwell County moving to Class A, she'll set a Class A record when she completes the race. Apparently, there's not been a Class A competitor, according to what the performance sheet listed. But she's about 3 to 3.5 seconds off of the state record, regardless of class. So if she can get her time in the 29s, she not only would win, but there's a good shot that she'll also bring home a state record. And there's always, Todd, two state records I keep an eye on at the state track meet every year. Al Starnes' wife has the Class A record for the 100-meter dash when she ran at Todd County Central. Angela Starnes, still has the Class A 100-meter record. And Al Baker from Trigg County has the Class 1A 100-meter boys record. His is 10.7. Kid from Fort Knox, either last year or the year before, ran a 10.72. Almost got it. But the 100-meter dashes, I always keep track of it because those are two of the older state records still around. Angela Starnes set her record in the early 80s, and Al Baker's came in, I think, 1986. So you're talking about records that are almost pushing 30 years old. as well. And so if Kendall has a good jaunt down the track, there's a good chance her time will be one that people will be keeping an eye on for years to come.
And another first coming up for Caldwell County at the state track meet. There will be entrance in the pole vault for Caldwell County.
Yeah, it takes a lot of guts. I don't know that I could pole vault. Of course, they make the pole vaults are like fishing poles. You know, they're made with a lot stronger and lighter material than back in the day when you had the old Zebco rod and reel. And, you know, if you, I've seen some of those Zebcos snap in two if you had a good fish on the line. And, you know, you've seen some of like the wooden pole vaults, and I've even seen some of the old metal ones bend. But, you know, now pole vaults are like top flight, state-of-the-art materials. And so with Caldwell County having a pair in that, there's a chance they could, you know, they could clear some heights and, you know, make sure that bar doesn't, their pole doesn't touch the bar. They're in good shape because you got to do more than vault yourself over the bar. You've got to get up and at the apex, you've got to throw that bar backwards so that your pole does not land into the bar that you have to clear. Because if your pole touches the bar, even if you clear the bar, the jump doesn't count.
Yeah, we've got Max Heaton and the boys pole vault, TJ Goodwin for the girls, and they just started that this season and both qualifying for state. So, like you said earlier, that kind of helps you just accrue more points once you get up there and kind of inch up the team standings.
It does, because not a lot of schools have that. And so if you can, again, if you could steal some points here and there, that'll help you move up that leaderboard, because – really, I always say your track meets are won with relays and they're won with field events. And if you can get on the medal stand in every relay, and then you can get on the medal stand in throws and jumps, then you're going to score quite a few more points than some of these other schools that, you know, that allows you to maybe be lax in some areas like middle distance, like in the mile run or the 2 mile run. You know, if you can get a couple of kids on the medal stand in like a long jump or a triple jump or a pole vault.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show today and talking state track with us. Good luck with the coverage, and we'll be watching for everything you've got over at yoursportsedge.com.
It's going to be busy. It's going to take two of us to cover the Class 1A meet. With at least four of our schools competing. Class 2A is on Friday, Trigg and Hopkinsville. And, you know, Union County's got some kids. Webster County's got some kids competing in Class 2A, and then Christian County in 3A on Saturday. So it's one of the busiest times of the year that we have, with region baseball and softball and state tennis and state track and field. But it's also, to use an improper word, it's one of the funnest, too. I enjoy this two-week period.
All right. Thanks, Scott.
All right, Todd. Thank you very much.
That's Scott Brown of YourSportsEdge.com. He's in Lexington today for the state track meet, and we'll find out all the information about the Caldwell County Tigers and Lady Tigers a little bit later on over at YourSportsEdge.com, and we'll have news on the sports report in the morning right here on WPKY. Stay with us. We'll talk college basketball right after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
The Joshua Tree Boutique, East Court Square in historic downtown Princeton. A boutique filled with ladies' clothing with an emphasis on color and unique style. Beautiful jewelry, too. Follow on Facebook.
Stay safe on the road while keeping your vehicle in top shape while enjoying a smoother, quieter ride. Ensure fuel efficiency by trusting the tire experts at Trice Hughes. Stocking leading brands like Michelin, Goodyear, Firestone, and Bridgestone ensures quality and longevity. Plus, enjoy no-cost tire rotations with every service appointment for the life of your tires. Discover the Trice Hughes difference in Princeton or find them at TriceHughesGM.com. At Trice Hughes, they're more than just tires.
It's a proven fact.
going on vacation is really good for your health and happiness. But if money is holding you back from sandy beaches, the mountains, or relaxing by a pool, then you need to visit ABC Finance. They can help get you to that vacation destination you've been dreaming about. They offer loans from $500 to $15,000, and decisions are made quickly, usually within an hour. Your dream vacation is within reach with help from ABC Finance. All loans subject to normal credit approval.
This is Todd Morse at the Hopkinsville ABC Finance location.
And this is Courtney Morse at ABC Finance in Princeton.
Whatever location is closest to you, we're here to help make your loan process quick, easy, and stress-free.
We can even consolidate all your loans into one easy payment.
No appointment is needed, walk-ins are welcome, and we can take your application in person, over the phone, or apply online at abcfinanceonline.com.
Be sure to like and follow ABC Finance on Facebook for daily money tips and community info.
All loans subject to normal credit approval.
Get a great deal on versatile Kubota equipment today. Like the Kubota L-Series compact tractor, the number one selling compact tractor in the U.S., Z-Series mowers, and Sidekick utility vehicles. Stop by your local Kubota dealer today. Bring home select L-Series equipment for zero down, 0% APR for up to 60 months, plus save up to $1,050. Now through June 30th. See us or go to KubotaUSA.com for more details.
H&R AgriPower is your home for Kubota sales, parts, and service. Eagle Way, Hopkinsville.
Weather Edge Weather Center forecast, expecting sunshine through the day today, warming up to about 78. Heading into the overnight, mostly clear, low down to about 54. For Friday, mostly sunny and 81. But again, through this afternoon, sunshine and 78.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580, 103.3 WPKY. As promised, now we're going to talk some college basketball. Darian Boyd has joined us in the studio, former Caldwell County Tiger great, now headed to the College of Charleston. And Darian, good morning. Thanks for coming in on the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Tell us how you ended up at the College of Charleston.
Towards the end of the year at Lipscomb, I unfortunately tore my ACL. And that kind of put a damper in, you know, my plans and everything. But once I got into the portal, the coach from Charleston that was there last year ended up leaving and going to Louisville, took the job at Louisville. And then Chris Mack stepped in and took the job at Charleston. And once he got the job, he kind of called me and we touched base and then kind of got the ball rolling. When I visited, I mean, I loved it. So it was great. The coaching staff was great. Coach Mack himself was super excited to get back into coaching. It was just a good opportunity and all the pieces aligned.
So Louisville got Charleston's coach, and Charleston went and got Louisville's former coach.
Yes, that's actually ironic for sure.
Well, what are you looking forward to most at your new school?
You know, with it being my last year, I just really want to focus on my rehab in the summer and then really focus on just my last year having fun, having a good time, and getting back to where I was at Lipscomb before I injured myself, and then, you know, hopefully getting a chance at that big dance, yeah, going to March Madness.
Well, you were having such a good year this past season, and then the injuries kind of got you a couple of times.
Yeah, broke my thumb midway through the year, right before conference, and then six games to go in the year, I tore my ACL. So it was definitely a rough year. A lot of rehab, a lot of being doctor's visits. Something I'm not accustomed to, but I think it was something that helped me, and it's still teaching me now just to have patience and to trust the process. Yeah.
Now, from an academic standpoint, have you done just about everything you could do at Lipscomb? I mean, were you looking for a new challenge?
I think the thing that I was looking for with education, I just got my master's at Lipscomb, so I kind of told the coaching staff at Charleston, I was like, man, I just want to enjoy my last year. I don't want to have to worry about school the whole time. So they understood that. So I'm just doing a little certificate program there, and then it shouldn't be too difficult. I can focus on basketball and really get back to where I want.
Now, you get in the transfer portal. What is that kind of like? Do you have coaches contacting you left and right?
Yeah, it's a little hectic, especially for me, I've done it twice, so it's a little different, but especially doing it the first time, it's a little hectic just trying to understand, you know, what's right, what's wrong, who's talking to you, being truthful, who's not. because a lot of coaches just feed you information, make you feel good, mm-hmm. and then you'll never hear from them again. So it's a tedious process. You really have to know how to talk to people and listen.
Well, and it's always an interesting situation because you don't know where a coach is going to end up later, so you don't want to buy in with one coach if he's not going to be where you want to go.
That's right, because especially this year, there was so many coaching moves, so many mm-hmm. coaching changes that you just didn't know where anybody was going to be. So, like, I know for me, like, I was getting calls, and then it kind of stopped, and then it happened again once coaches got places. And, I mean, there was 2-3 months into it, and people still didn't have teams. So it's trial and error. Have patience. The right people are going to come calling.
Now, you're going to Charleston, and I was going to ask if you were familiar with the players there, but I think just about everybody's new this season at Charleston.
Just about. I mean, I think we have a couple returners from last year, but everything else, like I said, coaching staff, trainers, everything else is brand new. So it's going to be a new experience, not being on a team that, you know, came in together, or, you know, some have already been there. So it's going to be a good challenge, but, you know, I think Coach Mack went and got a good group, and I think we're going to be good.
Has he spoke to you about how he intends to use you?
He has. You know, right now he's really just focused on my rehab. He really wants me to get back. He told me he was going to be very conservative. He didn't want to push me to where, you know, came back too quickly and then mess it up again. So he's really looking out for the longevity of my career. But he kind of told me, you know, you don't want coaches to promise you things, but, you know, he kind of told me, you work for it. You know, this is yours. You played 30 minutes at Lipscomb. I plan on using you the exact same. So,
now, what are you working on right now? What can you do, and when will you be full go again?
Right now, I'm about 3.5 months in. I started running about 2 weeks ago, running and jumping. They told me I can do controlled movements and when I'm shooting, so like little one dribble pull ups or just set shots. It's really what I've been doing, that and ball handling. That's about all I can do. But as far as the rehab's going great. Doctor says everything looks great. Said I'd be back probably around August to start actual court workouts where I get full whatever I want to do on the court for a workout, and then September I'm supposed to start practicing again. Trying to build back into live play. He said I should be ready to go like 100% probably by mid-December, but, you know, they say it takes like five months after you get to about 95% to get that last little bit in. But I'll be ready to go for the season in November.
Okay. You started your career at Georgetown College. What was that kind of like? And explain going from high school to college. What was kind of the biggest adjustment on the basketball court for you?
From high school to college, I would definitely have to say the speed of the game. I think me having that redshirt year was very helpful for me, just because I wasn't as much as you want to be and how prideful you might be coming from a school where you put up numbers and you're kind of the guy, and then you go to college and everybody's the guy.
Yeah.
Like everybody was the guy at their school. So it's kind of, you know, it takes a hit at your pride, but like at the end of the day, you got to be real with yourself. And I just was not ready, I mean, for the speed of how they think and how they move. You know, I think that redshirt year was probably the best thing for me. It really got me up to speed. By the end of the year, I was playing good, and it allowed me to just start right where I left off in high school, just my first year back. But my experience at Georgetown was great. Learned a lot of things from Coach Briggs. Love him. I always thank him for the opportunity he gave me, because nobody else wanted me at that time. So, you know, it all started with him. It all started with Georgetown. So we'll see where this thing ends.
Well, and when you left Georgetown, what went into the decision to go to Lipscomb?
A lot of it had to do with me personally, just knowing that I just had the belief in me that I could play at the Division I level. I mean, I've played against guys. I know my capabilities, and that was kind of what that was. But also on the educational side, I mean, I was going to graduate in the winter. I only had half a semester left, and they don't have any masters except for education, and I wasn't doing that. So for me, that played a huge role as well because, I mean, I'm not going to do masters in education. Yeah. So transferring just, I mean, it just all made sense.
Now, did you talk to Eli Pepper any about Lipscomb before you got there? Because, you know, Lipscomb probably thinks that Caldwell County is like this huge basketball factory now.
Yeah. Eli was very helpful in my first year in the transfer portal since, you know, he's kind of been into the college game. He kind of understands it. So, you know, I mean, I looked at him for guidance for certain things. You know, I would talk to him. He went with me on my visit to Lipscomb, actually, got us connected. So I'm very thankful for him, and he really set up something that was good for me. But at the end of the day, I think I would be wrong just not to do right by the people that, you know, give me opportunities. Right. So I put everything I have into it.
Well, how would you kind of rate the success you've had on the college basketball level? Because you've scored, what now, 1,600 and something points on the college level in four seasons and another season coming up.
Yes, it's definitely. A couple of them cut short, unfortunately. But, you know, I'm excited about my next journey. I'm thankful for where I've been, what I've done. It doesn't come easy, but, you know, all glory to God for giving me the ability and the capacity to do what I do. So I feel like it just is a disservice not to go out there and play hard for him and just everything he's given me and blessed me with. So I think I've had a decent career. Sad to say there's one more year left, but, you know, there's bigger and better things beyond college. So I'm just ready for it.
We're talking this morning with former Caldwell County Tiger standout Darian Boyd. We need to get to a break on the show, but we'll come back and have more right after this. Stay with us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Stay safe on the road while keeping your vehicle in top shape while enjoying a smoother, quieter ride. Ensure fuel efficiency by trusting the tire experts at Trice Hughes. Stocking leading brands like Michelin, Goodyear, Firestone, and Bridgestone ensures quality and longevity. Plus, enjoy no-cost tire rotations with every service appointment for the life of your tires. Discover the Trice Hughes difference in Princeton or find them at TriceHughesGM.com. At Trice Hughes, they're more than just tires.
As a bank that's been part of the Caldwell County communities for almost 140 years, we've seen many changes. As we celebrate First Southern's first 40 years as an organization, we know any achievements we have had are because of the customers we worked alongside. We affirm our commitment to the shared values that brought us here. We look forward to spending the next 40 years and beyond serving you. For more information, visit fsmb.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
At Goodwin Insurance, they select their insurance companies the same way you do, very carefully. When you work with the agents at Goodwin Insurance, you can count on receiving fast, courteous professional service with quality protection. You deserve someone that provides comprehensive coverage and is working alongside you in your community. Contact them today for a quote.
Goodwin Insurance of Princeton, Cadiz, or Marion, or online at insurewithgoodwin.com.
Princeton. This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Thanks for tuning in this morning. We're talking with Caldwell County grad Darian Boyd in the studio with us this morning. He's headed to the College of Charleston after stops at Georgetown and Lipscomb. And, you know, we talked about the level of play. Did you notice a step up when you went from Georgetown to Lipscomb? Do you have to make some more adjustments with your second stop?
I think the big thing for me is definitely the detail in the game was a lot more detailed going from NAIA to D1. I think the IQ of players was a little bit higher, just knowing where to be, where to rotate. The scouts were a lot more detailed. A lot goes into winning a game, and you really see it when you get to the Division I level on how much preparation and how much time they put into it. So as far as the speed and the game itself, I don't think it really sped up. To me, honestly, it got slower, but that's probably just because of years of experience, yeah. Just being in it, just understanding where people are going to be, what to do in this situation. So, but I think the skill level is pretty much, I think you can find the same amount of players that you got at the Division I level at the NAIA.
Talk about how busy you are during a basketball season, because between schooling and being on the basketball court, is there much time for anything else?
Not really, no. You know, I also, with my MBA this past year, I had to have an internship too. So I had a job early in the morning.
Oh, wow.
So I would go 8 to 12 in the morning to my job. And then right after that, I would have to book it over to the gym. And I'd get some food, and then I'd work out, and then I'd have lift with the team. And then we'd have practice after lift. So it was either get a workout in early in the morning before work, or it was we had to, like, crunch it in right before lift or right before practice. So it's definitely hectic, and it's a lot to balance. But I think that makes it even better, because – now, this coming year, I don't have to worry about that. Now, yeah. It's just going to be like I'm going to have all the freedom in the world to do what I want with it. So,
what has been kind of the highlight of your college basketball career for you? Because you got to play at the Yum Center, right? I mean, that's a pretty big deal.
Yes, definitely. You know, I mean, Louisville obviously being my favorite school growing up. Yum Center has to be up there playing against Louisville. Definitely has to be up there. I think one of my most memorable moments is either the Belmont game winner or the Queens game winner. I assisted on the Belmont one. That was just a big rivalry. And that was my first year there. I didn't know how big that rivalry was. And then next thing you know, everybody's storming the court like it was Duke versus UNC. So that was a very memorable moment and very enjoyable.
Well, how far apart are Belmont and Lipscomb? Like 3 miles, maybe?
Not even.
Yeah.
I think it's like, if you look up on the maps, it's like 1.2 miles.
Yeah. And same street, right?
Same street.
Same street in Nashville. So as you look back on your time at Caldwell County, what are some of your favorite memories from playing as a Tiger? Because you guys had some pretty good teams. And when you spoke yesterday, you and Jay Brown spoke out here at the youth camp, Coach Mitchell mentioned the Paducah-Tillman game when he was still with the girls' team at Tillman and watched you guys beat the Tillman team in the late game that night.
Yeah, that was a pretty memorable one. That was probably one that I would say is most memorable. That was a game we weren't expected to win. Nobody really expected us to win that game. And, you know, we had the fans, we had the team, you know, everybody was pumped, and it was a good win. I mean, there's so many memories I have just on the court, whether it's in high school or college. It's really hard to pick out which one is really that the best one, but, you know, I had a great time at Caldwell. All the times that I've had in college, I mean, it's just a blessing just to have all of it. For me, I try to take in every moment. I know the day of that Louisville game, I really tried to, like, I just sat down at the shoot around and just really took it in, like, where I was and, you know, the places God has taken me. So,
now, do you have some favorite places to play besides the Yum Center?
FGCU is a pretty cool place to play at. Nice crowd, nice gym, nice facilities. I'd have to say, I didn't get to play here, but Florida State has a nice facility as well. I didn't get to play that game. I was out with the broke thumb. That was the last game I missed. But, you know, we traveled the world. We went to Canada last year for a tournament. You know, it was cool seeing all the people that, like, in Canada that just came to watch the game. Had no side. And it was cool, too, because at the beginning of it, they weren't rooting for anybody. But, like, they started finding the team that they liked
really,
the most.
They
picked up on a team that they enjoyed watching, and, like, they showed up and they were really, like, cheering on for you. So it was really cool. And then seeing all the kids, it's kind of surreal.
Now, have you taken a look at the Charleston schedule yet? Do you have any big games on that schedule yet?
I actually have not got to look at it. I don't even think they've released it yet. I haven't asked Coach about it. I'm sure I'll see it when I get up there. But I know that he said we were playing in the ESPN Classic during Christmas. So that one's in Hawaii, so that'll be another memorable spot to be at. So,
from a basketball standpoint, what kind of goals do you have at Charleston?
For me, it's really just get a championship and go to March Madness. I think really as far as, like, individual play, I've accomplished everything that I've wanted to accomplish. I would like to get Player of the Year still. I was planning on doing that last year, but of course, cut short.
Did get Scholar Athlete though, yeah, in the A-Sun.
Yeah, definitely. Yes, I did. That one was funny when everybody was telling me about that one. But it's a, I've pretty much done everything that I've wanted to accomplish. So I think just getting the team to March Madness and experiencing that is probably the last goal I have set before I get out of here.
Now, future plans. What's after college for you?
I want to play professional, obviously, whether that's in the NBA or overseas. I was talking to a few agents throughout the year this past year before my injury happened, and they were all setting up stuff, whenever I decide to sign. Because at the middle of the season, I didn't know if I was going to transfer or I was going to just go ahead and go pro. So I told them all that I would like a year to get my feet back under me and get my rhythm back. So I think for me, it's just one more year and then go professional. Yeah.
Did getting injured kind of make the decision to come back and play another college year a little easier for you?
Definitely did. I mean, it was pretty much evident. I mean, yeah, I talked to multiple agents on the phone just talking about, I think it's a good idea for me to go back for another year, and they agreed with me. They were like, it's hard for us to get your name out there and get you into workouts if you can't do anything. So they were like, it kind of makes our job easier, so we're not going to sit here and tell you not to. So I think it was a good mutual agreement, and I think it was something that just had to be.
Do you know if Charleston's on TV very often?
I don't know if they're on TV very often. I know the ESPN Classic, that whole entire – those 3 days will be on ESPN.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure a lot of our stuff is on ESPN Plus, just like everybody else's. Yeah. But I think we might have a couple televised. I'd have to look at the schedule and ask Coach Mack, but they sell out every home game. Yeah. So it's going to be a nice experience.
Well, I know there'll be a lot of people watching and pulling for you, and I appreciate you coming in this morning and taking some time to talk some basketball with us.
No, I appreciate you. Thank you for inviting me on.
Good luck at Charleston.
Thank you. All right.
That's Darian Boyd, former Caldwell County Tiger, headed to the College of Charleston. That's going to wrap us up this morning on the Sideline Report. Thanks to Scott Brown for talking track with us this morning. Again, the Tigers and Lady Tigers competing in the state track meet today at the University of Kentucky in Lexington. That's going to wrap us up. Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and your SportsEdge.com. Thanks a lot for being with us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
WPKY Princeton.